There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken streams, stirred the suffering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. As I go, feasting on the riches of his grace, resting in his sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every lung, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. As I go, soon he's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every lung, keeps me singing as I go. Sing it one more time. Here we go. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Amen. By thy great power, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee. From the beginning, amen. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee. Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises as your people declare your mighty word. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. From the beginning. Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises as your people declare your mighty works. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Amen. Glory. Glory to you, Jesus.
Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. This is a simple message today. Lord, we're going to talk about God. Our subject, God. God, praise the Lord. What a beautiful God. Brother Jerry bringing his message this morning, he read some of the scriptures that I'm going to read. So I was sitting there thinking, he's going to preach my sermon. Praise the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to bless this word to our hearts today. Hallelujah. Father, we are just so taken with how great our God is. What a great and marvelous God. Hallelujah. Blessed is the Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be your name, oh Lord God. Hallelujah, that you would care for us, that you would have, oh, a desire to make us your children. Oh, that you would lead us and direct us as you do. Oh, how faithful you are, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for this, and we're asking you to bless these words today, Father God. It's a simple message, Father, but I just pray you'll make it a blessing. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God, the triune God. That means the Trinity. There's three parts to the Godhead. The scripture Paul brings, he calls it the Godhead. There are three parts to the Godhead. We know that. Praise the Lord. There's God, who is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, but as we know him as our Lord and Savior, as the Lord Jesus is our Lord and Savior, he has become our Father. And he loves us with an everlasting love, with great emotion and ability toward us as his children. I hope every one of us realize what it means to have God as our Father. It's an important thing. A lot of people don't really understand that. They worship him as someone afar off that we can displease real easily, and he might smite us. But he is our heavenly Father, as the Lord Jesus, when he was here on the earth, he brought it out that his Father in heaven loved us. Praise the Lord, didn't he? So we are the children of God. Hallelujah. And then, of course, the Son of God, who came down to be an earthly person, be born of a woman, and though he had that nature of God, yet he had this human body because he was born of a woman. And he is our Savior. He is our Lord. He's the head of the church. He's going to be the coming bridegroom. He is the coming bridegroom. He will be here one of these days soon to catch away his people that love him supremely. He's going to take us away to be with the Lord. And the Holy Spirit, the precious Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit does not seek praise for himself, but he is part of the triune God, the Holy Spirit. It's amazing, isn't it? We don't fully understand everything about this subject. We might have heard it all our lives, like I have, and many of you have all of your life. But it's still lots and lots of depths to think about, really, who this is. Who is God? Who is the Son of God? Who is the Holy Spirit? Praise the Lord. So Genesis 1:1, we're going to look there. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, God has no beginning. I hope all of you understand that. He's the eternal God, the scripture calls him. He's the eternal God. So he's not talking about the beginning of God. He's talking about the beginning of the creation of and this dealings with mankind. This was a plan. Scripture says before the foundation of the world, that he would create a world, he would create an earth, and he would bring about a man on this earth. And from that man would come many, 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 many children, thousands and thousands of children. And those from those children would come forth the people that would love God and love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful plan, isn't it? So glad that we are here in this time knowing what he is doing. Glory to God. In the beginning, whatever that was, the beginning of time, not the beginning of God, like I said, but the beginning of the earth. And that word beginning in original language, the Old Testament's Hebrew, and that language, the beginning means first in place, in time, and in order. So in other words, to start it all off, God created the world. He created the heavens and the earth that he might bring forth man. Praise the Lord. And so the whole object of this was that he might create man, and that's in the 26th verse of this first chapter. God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. We want to mention, go back to the word God. The word is in the Hebrew language Elohim, which is a plural form of God. It means that there is more than one, and that is true. It's proved out throughout the Bible that there is more than one in the Godhead. We call it the Godhead. Scripture calls it that. The Trinity. There are three persons in the Trinity. Now, there is a doctrine that some people teach that Jesus is God and he is God, but he's not the Father God. But they teach one God. That's their religion. Everything is just Jesus manifested in different ways. But it isn't Scripture. And also the word Lord, which we see in the Old Testament, which has all capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Did you ever wonder why that's all written in uppercase? Because it's God's name in the Old Testament. And that name is actually, it means the self-existent one. The self-existent one. Now, that boggles our mind because we're not self-existent. We're totally existent and dependent upon God. But God himself is the self-existent one. He has no beginning and no ending. Praise the Lord. And it also means eternal. And we have in the King James, you know, Lord. But actually, the word in the Hebrew language is Jehovah. Jehovah. And I don't pronounce it exactly like that. Jehovah. Jehovah. Or with a V-A-W on the end. That's the original word that was used in the Hebrew text to say Lord. So that's who God is. And a reference is also speaking of Christ as being Jehovah. He is God too, isn't he? He's God the Son. So notice that it is not the beginning of God, but the beginning of the creation. Praise the Lord. God is a Trinity, as we see here. Three distinct persons, totally operative together. They always do this, following the pattern that God has set forth, the will of God. They're totally operative together. They have specific ministries. And Apostle Paul in the New Testament often refers to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 15:6, he says that there is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, God the Father didn't come down to earth to die. Jesus the Son was born of the Virgin Mary, and in Luke 1:31, God told her, the angel told her, thou shalt call his name Jesus, which is in the Greek, Joshua. Who was Joshua in the Old Testament? Joshua was the leader of Israel that took them over into the Canaan land. In a picture, see, that's Jesus Christ. He's the one that saves us, that will take us over into the heavens. And so, the word Jesus and Joshua especially means Jehovah is salvation. Now Jesus, the word Jesus is a Greek word, but the original word would have been Joshua. And that name means Jehovah is salvation. That's the Lord Jesus. And he's called the Christ, which means the anointed one. This is a simple message, but I felt led to do this, especially because I was talking to an individual who's not here this morning that would have benefited from this message. But I hope and pray you benefit from it. If you know it already, backwards and forwards and upside down, that you will just again be reminded of what the Lord, who the Lord is. Now, the third person of that divine unity, Trinity, we call him, is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has very specific work. He is a power, isn't he? And he fulfills the will of God all the time. We don't understand these things. I can sit up here and tell you that there's a Trinity and that this is who they are and what they do. But do we really understand it? No, we really don't understand it. One of these days when we get in heaven, we're going to fully understand who God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit are. It's going to be wonderful, isn't it? Right now, we're kind of still in the dark, even though many of us have known these truths for years and years and years and years. Yes. So the Holy Spirit is that third person. He's the one, we call him the agent of the new birth. That's just a title. The Bible doesn't call him that. But what that means is that he is the one that convicts someone of their sins and gets them to receive Christ. And then when they receive Christ, the Spirit of Christ comes into them. Not the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of Christ. They're born again. The Spirit of Christ comes into their life. They're a child of the living God because of Jesus in their life. Later on, they might be filled with the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of the Holy Spirit comes in and empowers them and gives them the strength to learn the Word of God and to carry on in their life and be a victor in their life. Isn't that beautiful? Now, Brother also read this other scripture, so let's go on to John 1. In John 1, of course, we've read this even recently in the sermon, but we love this scripture in John 1 because John is one of the writers of these Gospels. You know, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each one of them showed Christ in a different way. We're just going to dwell with John. John does not record Jesus' natural birth. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit led him to show Jesus Christ as the Son of God, not as a natural little baby. And throughout, he's always speaking of Jesus as the Son of God, the Son of God. He's showing Jesus as that. So beginning in verse 1 of chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now he's calling Jesus the Word, the Word. He was the spoken Word of God. The logos it's a Greek word, logos, and it means the spoken word. And of course, when God created the world, there we read back there, didn't we, that there was a Trinity. What did he say? He didn't say, let me make man after my image. He said, let us make man after our image. Let us do this, because there is a Trinity. Now, that's one of the things that you can show someone else if they're trying to tell you that they're all one person and they're not, they're just one thing. That's not it. There are three. That's why it says us in the original. Okay. So in the beginning was the Word, the Logos of God, the Word of God, and he was with God and he was God. He was part of that Godhead. And in verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness of this world could not understand and couldn't enter in just in themselves the things, the light of it that was shining on them. They had to have faith in the Lord and believe and accept that Jesus Christ was the light of the world. And John says that too, that Jesus Christ is a light of the world. In John 8:58, we won't turn there, but just notice this scripture. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Before Abraham was born, I am. The great I am is the name of God," because that means he's a self-existent one. He always has been. God has never had a beginning. And Jesus Christ is also God. And he says, "I am." It was not the beginning of God when Christ came down to the earth. He was here for eons and eons. One of these days when we get there, maybe we're going to know. Won't that be something? It says we will know as we are known. So maybe we will know one of these days. In verse 9 here of John 1 says that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. Now, let's go over to Colossians 1. And one of the interesting things, you know, I know when I was a child, I thought about God creating the heavens and the earth. I really wasn't thinking about Jesus. I was thinking about God the Father, God in heaven creating the heavens and the earth. But Paul says in his Gospels that Jesus Christ was the creator. And of course, he was in union with his Father and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, didn't he? So that they were all in union. But in this book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." And all of us know here, when we're talking about saints, we're not talking about people that other people made saints and put idols up to represent them and things like that. We're not talking about that. The word saint means a holy person or a person who's a Christ believer who has received Christ. And throughout the teaching of Paul, he calls, like in verse 2 in this chapter, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ. So you and I are saints. We are believers in Christ. We are the saints of the Lord. So, going on now with our lesson here, beginning in verse 12, he makes us able to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us, this is the Lord, have delivered us from darkness, from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The power of darkness is satanic power that holds people in darkness. But God has delivered us from that satanic power and brought us into the light. He's translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, speaking of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, and by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Wednesday night we had a lesson on the church. Who makes up the church? Who's the head of the church? And most of you know we are not a denomination. Our church is not in joint with any denominational group. We are non-denominational because we believe that all believers who know Jesus Christ as their Savior are part of the body of Christ, the church of the living God. So we don't have to have a membership and say you belong and you don't and so forth. We know that if you know Jesus as your Savior, you belong. And we're so happy to have you here worshiping with us. So we accept people who are believers in Christ. Even if they're in another church, they're a believer in Christ. They know Jesus. They're part of the church. So we're not segregationists. We don't do that. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus, it says here, is the image of the invisible God. And he is the one that created all things, as we read back there in John 1. In Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 2, it also says, God has spoken to us by his Son, by whom also he made the worlds. So he made the worlds by his Son. Praise the Lord. Now, they're a unity, aren't they? I mean, it's not that Jesus is over here doing something and God doesn't, he doesn't have any hand in it, so forth. That's not the way it is at all. All of them work together. And that's the way it is in our lives right now in this assembly that we have here. The unity of the Spirit, unity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are working in this meeting and in our lives. God is working in our lives. It's a wonderful thing to know. Praise the Lord. Jesus came to this earth as a little human baby, but he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He had a human side, but then he had that spiritual side. He was still the Son of God. Praise the Lord. He had to be a pure and holy sacrifice for our sin, or it wouldn't have been anything. You and I have a sin nature, so we couldn't be the Savior. There have been men during my lifetime that I have heard about in the news and different ones that said that they were the Lord, that they were Christ. And it was a big lie because they died and there wasn't anything spectacular took place. But you see how man is deceived because they start looking at a human being. Jesus Christ came to this earth and he was the divine Son of God, even though he had a natural body. He had a natural body so he could die. Praise the Lord. Turn to Galatians 2. Galatians 2, verse 20. It's a beautiful verse of Scripture. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Now that means that because Jesus Christ died, we are identifying with him when we accept him as our Savior. And it's as if we died. Our sins were taken care of on the cross of Christ. We don't have to die for our sins. He died for our sins. So I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he came to die for the sins of the whole world. Oh, how precious that is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I want us to turn back. We're just talking about the Trinity, and we're going to go back to the book of John. And chapter 14, which is something that all of these are very familiar to most of you here today. So maybe you needed a brush up. Praise the Lord. In this 14th chapter of John, where Jesus is talking to the disciples, telling them that he's going to go away, he's going to be crucified. He tells them also about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is going to come to them. And so we've talked about God the Father. We've talked about the Son of God, who's the Savior of the world, our Savior, our Lord. He is the head of the church. We are to honor him and respect him. We're looking for him to come soon. Glory to God. So we're going to look now at this 14th chapter of John. We're going to begin reading. Let's read verse 25. It says, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. Praise the Lord. In verse 17, let's read verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, and that's a beautiful word. Have you ever been comforted by the Holy Spirit? When you're in a trial or a test that seems almost impossible, and like you think you can't stand it, then there's this little voice that just speaks to you, I'm in control, I'm taking care of things. That's the Holy Spirit working. It's the Comforter is working. That word Comforter, actually translated from the Greek, means an intercessor. So we find in other places that the Holy Spirit prays, and that he prays for us and intercedes for us. And, of course, Jesus is interceding for us, too, so we have a double whammy, we might say. We've got the Holy Spirit and Jesus interceding for us. The word comforter also means a consoler. Did you ever ask the Lord to console you, to help you, to comfort you when you're in a terrible trial? All of us have. We've all gone through many, many trials at this stage of the game. We've gone through many, many, many different trials and tests. But we can call out to the Lord and say, help me, help me. And it's that Holy Spirit that comes and gives us that comfort and consolation. And it also means an advocate. In the Bible, it says that we have an advocate with the Father. And it says Jesus Christ there. And, of course, that's true. But also, we find that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us, too. And then notice in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now, we read that a while ago. But we are, as human beings, we can't learn all the things about God. We have to have power outside of ourselves to really learn about God the Father and God the Son, all the Word, all the things I've said, done, and all of those things. And so when Jesus left this earth, he sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Remember the story? Acts 2. The Holy Spirit, the saints of God were waiting there, 120 of them in the upper room. And the Holy Spirit came down on that day, and they began to speak in another language. And that Holy Spirit power is still alive today, still operative in the church, and many people have been filled with the Holy Spirit and spoken in tongues. Many people have had that experience. Many of us right here have. Praise the Lord. So he is the Comforter, and he is the one that will teach us. He is the one that brings to our remembrance. You remember sometimes when we're in trials and we maybe are kind of down in the mouth about something, and suddenly a little scripture comes to our mind, or the Lord's voice reminds us, God is still taking care of you. God is still working something for your good. Praise the Lord. He brings all things to our remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Praise the Lord. So the Holy Spirit. Then in Romans 8, 9, I'm just going to read this to you. But you are not in the flesh, but if in the Spirit, if so that be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So the Spirit of God can dwell in us. And we believe that that is a separate experience from our being saved. When Jesus comes into our life, the Son of God, we have the life of Christ in us. And then when the Holy Spirit comes in, let's turn there to Romans 8. I was going to just read that off to you, but I think I want to go there to Romans 8. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the Spirit of God dwells in us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. This is verse 9. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That means in yielding to the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. But if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, the Spirit of Christ means the life of Christ. The life of Christ is what comes into us when we get saved. We have the life of Christ. We're born again. There's a new life within us, the new creation life, the scripture calls it. It's Christ's life in us. But as we then go on with the Lord and we yield to the Holy Spirit and he comes in, then we have the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is good, isn't it? So, praise the Lord. In the Amplified, it says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him and is not a child of God. So when we have Christ in us, we are a child of God. Later, we may experience having the Holy Spirit in us. So the Holy Spirit is the comforter, the one who teaches us and leads us. In chapter 16 of John, verse 13, it says there that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all the truth and show us things to come. And in this, while we're here in chapter 8 of Romans, look over to chapter, or verse 26. Verse 26. Here again, speaking about the Spirit, in your King James, it capitalizes the letter when it's speaking of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So it says, likewise, the Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit, also helps our infirmities. Now, this is something that's neat. The word infirmity means our weaknesses. It's not just talking about our human body being weak. It's talking about sometimes our attitudes and our things we do are weak. So who can help us? Who can strengthen us and help us when we have weaknesses? The Holy Spirit. He comes, he's called the comforter, one who comes alongside to help. He comes alongside and he speaks to us in our heart, in our mind, and tells us, here, you can do this. You can do this because the Lord's going to strengthen you. He reminds us of who we are and who it is that is helping us. Praise the Lord. So he's helping our weaknesses and our shortcomings. Well, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You always know what to pray for? Sometimes there's a puzzling circumstance. More than sometimes. Most of the time we have puzzling circumstances that we don't really know what to do with. And we have to trust in the Lord. And it says here that the Holy Spirit will help us to know what we should pray for as we ought. And so he reveals to us how to pray. But it says, but the Spirit, and King James says itself, but I wrote it again in my Bible, himself, because he is a him, not an it. The Holy Spirit is him. He is part of the Trinity. He makes intercession for us. Now, it tells us in another place that Jesus Christ makes intercession for us. He helps our infirmity. He assists us. That's what he means. It means there in the word helps. He intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Is the Holy Spirit groaning? I know that in my experience, sometimes I am groaning. And I may be praying for God to work in my life about something, and I don't even have words. I don't even have English words to speak to know what to pray for. But as I really yield to the Lord, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to me that and tell me how to pray and cause me to pray according to the will of God. And that's one thing we all need to learn, is to pray in the will of God. You know, Jesus even said, not my will, but thine be done. And we need to do that because we're real prone to want our own will. You know, we want now. We want it now, don't we? You're human, so I know you do. All of us feel that way at times. Lord, do it now. And he doesn't always do that. But we learn to make that intercession with the Holy Spirit guiding us. And he says, with groanings which cannot be uttered, in other words, cannot be put into human speech. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but many of us have had the experience where we were just kind of groaning, but the Lord knew what we wanted and what he needed. And notice in verse 27, it tells us further about the Holy Spirit. And he that searches the hearts, that's another thing the Holy Spirit's job is. He searches our heart. What does that mean? It means our attitudes. He knows what's inside of us. He knows what we are, who we are, and what we really desire. He knows all of that. He knows and searches the hearts, what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He knows what the mind of God is. He knows what the will of God is. And he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. He is our helper. Hallelujah. All glory to God. Praise the Lord. Christ is also at the right hand of God interceding for us. That's in verse 34. It says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He also makes intercession for us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. About through here. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he, speaking of Jesus Christ, is able to save them to the uttermost. And that word in the Greek means entirely, to save us entirely. That come unto God by him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for them. Praise the Lord. So the work of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working in our life all the time. Isn't it a precious thing? Not left up to some other kind of little spirit that has a lesser place, an angel or something like that. But the triune God itself, him working theirselves, working in us. Philippians 3:13, it is God which works in you to will and do of his good pleasure. So the culmination, we have the Heavenly Father God caring about us, working for us, meeting our needs, loving us everlastingly. We have Jesus as our Lord, doing his work in our lives, loving us, praying for us, longing us to come, he's longing to come back to get us. He's going to come and get us one of these days. He will have a bride. He's going to come back and get us. And then there's the Holy Spirit. Think how equipped we are. We're not left alone to struggle down here. He is comforting us and teaching us the word through directly as we read the word. He's helping us to get revelations of the truth that we need to know. He's interceding for us in our trials and leading us into the way that we should go and where we should go. We trust. And the Lord starts leading us in the way that we should go and where we should go. Praise the Lord. Are you glad that we have the triune God? I am. Hallelujah. God is so good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing a song, and if you have any need and want prayer for your body, come up and we'll be glad to pray for you.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. We love you, adore you, we bow down before you. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Son of God, what a wonder Christ the Holy Ghost within, Son of God.